those who've traveled in from out of town even and are here with us for the weekend. And so glad you're here with us. It was about 6 years ago that I had my annual health exam to see if I could renew my visa to stay in Asia. And it would have been a tough year for us. It was, we had just moved, and so we were adjusting to a new house and to a new community. Even though we had lived in Asia for over 10 years, there was still stress when we went into grocery stores and bought food because we couldn't completely read everything that was on the label. We had a new team, and as a result of our new team, we were adjusting to one another. We were storming. We were forming. We faced some very challenging conflicts, difficult relational issues, so much so that at night, I was having trouble falling asleep. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And also at that time, we had the normal rigors of family life, both with my own family of origin, having some struggles and conflicts, but also our children were doing normal things at 3, 5, 7, and 9 years old. So it was no wonder that as I walked into the exam room and they took my blood pressure that morning, that I had a reading of 160 for my blood pressure. And for those of you who know a little bit about health, that's on the high side of things. And this high blood pressure continued for about 4 to 6 months, even to the extent that I had to consider taking blood pressure medicine. So sometimes our physical health is in trouble, and we need our annual checkups to see how we're doing. And just like physical health is critical and important, so our spiritual health is also critical and important, and especially the spiritual health of our families. Just like heart disease can kill the individual, there are diseases that can kill the health and the spiritual health of our families. Worldliness, negativity, selfishness, just to name a few. And we've been talking about building the strong Christian family, the healthy Christian family. We started off by saying that the Lord has to build the house, the strong Christian family. We said we need to put the Lord first to serve Him alone, no idols. We talked about how husbands and wives need to work together to build the strong Christian family, and how parents need to nurture the spiritual health of our children. Last week, we started getting even more practical and specific, and we said that the family that prays together stays together. How's the spiritual health of your family? Maybe you need to go in for a checkup. Would you like to improve the spiritual health of your family? We want to focus again on a very practical way to do so this morning. We're going to talk about the family worship time, and we'll look at that as we look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So if you'll turn with me there, Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. I have a new Bible, and so it kind of doesn't stay open very well. So bear with me if I'm trying to fiddle with it this morning. But turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The background of Colossians is very similar to Ephesians in that the first part of the book talks more of doctrine, the second part talks about practice. And in the book of Colossians, a major theme, or the major theme, is the superiority or the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The Colossians were trying to latch on to the latest fad, and especially the latest philosophy. And Paul is arguing throughout the book that Jesus is, and union with Jesus is the highest of callings and the highest of philosophies. So that when we get to chapter 3, verse 1, he says that, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated." He then gets very practical and starts to talk about laying aside immorality. And then he starts getting relational. And he talks about how to put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander. And to put on love. And especially as we get to verse 12, he continues to emphasize that. So as we arrive at verse 16, Paul is talking about those relational aspects of the Christian life. And so, starting off here in verse 16, let's read it. He says, "In the context of other people, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father." So the command here is to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's the main command of these two verses, to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now, to understand this a little bit better, I want us to first understand, what is this word of Christ? What is this word of Christ? Well, most people think that it's at least the good news of Jesus, that it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I would argue that when we're talking about the word of Christ here in Colossians 3:16, we're talking about the whole of Scripture. So I would define that as letting the whole of Scripture dwell within you. Just a little further evidence that I think that's what's going on. One is here in this context. He tells us one way to let the word of Christ dwell within us is through singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. So I doubt if all that Paul wants us to keep singing to one another is, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And just to keep singing that. So if it's only those initial truths of the gospel, that Jesus loves me, he died for my sins, that's all we'd be singing to one another. So no, I think it's talking about the whole counsel of Scripture. Another evidence is that our parallel passage to Colossians 3 today is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And there, Paul talks about be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there's a close connection in the Bible between the Spirit of God and the Word of God, or the whole counsel of Scripture. In 6:18, he tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So all that to say that when we're commanded to let the Word of Christ dwell within us richly, I think we're talking about letting the whole of Scripture dwell within us richly. Now, what is this concept of letting the Word of Christ dwell within us richly? I mean, what does that mean? Well, it comes from that same verb that we studied 2 weeks ago of dwelling within, when Timothy was told that, "I'm sure that this faith dwells within you as well." It's something that's dwelling within us. And so it has this sense of allowing the Word of God to permeate our whole being, to fill our thoughts and affect our attitudes, to fill all that we are. And so we can take words from other parts of the Scripture, such as Psalm 119, to "Thy word I have hidden in my heart," or Joshua 1:8, which says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night." So these are some of the elements that we can take away as we want to let the Word of Christ dwell within us. We can think of just letting the Word fill our hearts and fill our minds, and that we want to study it, that we want to memorize it, that we want to meditate upon it, that we want to read it, that we want to apply it, that we want the Word of God to so fill all that we are that, as Chuck Swindoll says, that our very blood becomes bibline. And so individually, I want to exhort us, I want to challenge us, why start your day with Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Gmail, television, homework, business emails, when you can start and end your day with the Word of God? I tell you not a lie, for the last 30 years of my life or so, one of the keys to my spiritual life that has made me the man that I am today has been letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within me. And it's been the first book that I've gone to during the day, and the last book that I've gone to in the evening. And I've had that theme in my life: no Bible, no breakfast. And I can't say that I've followed it for the whole 20,000 days of the last 30 years of my life, but it's been a theme. And it's the first thing that I think of. And so I want to challenge you individually: let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. But not only individually. In this context, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, corporately, let us also let the Word of Christ dwell within us richly. And the context here is probably in the church with other believers, but we can apply it to our families as well. And so my exhortation this morning, one of them, is that at the very minimum, as a family, read the Bible together. Read the Bible together. Read the Word together. And yes, so the Word of God is not only a individual affair, but it is, as 1 Timothy 4:13 says, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And again, that's in the context of the church, but it can also be applied to the family. So how can we improve the spiritual health of our church? First point is to read the Word together. Now, that can be very simple. You can just take what you heard in that scintillating sermon on Sunday and just reread the Bible verse as a family together. And we can all do that, right? So read it with your spouse. Read it with your children. Read it with your parents. If you want to go further, let me recommend that you get on to our church website, KDCCC. If you just type in Katy Christian Community Church. You'll get to it eventually. But that's the website. Who's gotten on our church website before? Could you raise your hand? Yeah, not bad. All right. Now, some of us, so I want to encourage you, get on the website, and we have prepared there some, okay, so first just read the word. We have prepared sermon discussion questions. So if you get on the website, KDCCC, Wix site, then you go up onto the media, it's the second to the last on the right, media and resources. You click on there, you go down, and boom, the first thing you have is this thing called sermon discussion questions. And we have, I'm sorry, that's not as large. Okay, weekly discussion questions. And you can see from April 3rd, and we have them all the way lined up until October. And you click on there, and boom, up come these really great questions. And you can ask one of those questions together individually or as a family in a family worship time. Okay? So, read the word together. Now, I want us to apply it right now. So let's just, you may not be around your family right now, but let's just pretend that you're a family, the people you're sitting next to. So turn to one or two people next to you and pretend like you're having a family worship time. See, this is called doing homework right there in class, right? I learned in today that's the new trend, right? You have no homework days. You just do the homework right there in class, right? I love doing that, and I don't have to do. So let's do that right now. I'm not going to send you out and say, hey, go home and do this with your family. We're going to pretend like, you know, we're family right here, right now. So turn to one or two people around you and have one person read verse 16 and one person read verse 17, okay? So do that. Do that right now with 1 minute, okay? Okay, very good. I hope you so keep doing that this week. You don't have to discuss or read what we talked about in the sermon. You can discuss or read what you studied in Sunday school, or you might have your own devotional, or maybe the children's Sunday school. Ask them, what did you learn in children's Sunday school? There's quite a variety, but at the very minimum, I want to encourage you to read the Word of God together. All right. So, if you want to go further, you can even ask questions, these two simple questions. What was the author communicating to his audience? What do you think God wants you to do, think, or feel today? Okay, these are just some other suggestions on having the family worship time. So, to build our spiritual health as a family, let us read the Word together. But what are some other things we can do? Paul talks about it here in verses 16 and 17. He says, after the main verb of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, he says we have these verbal words, they're called participles, which modify the main verb, and it says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And so again, I want to encourage us that to let the Word of Christ dwell within us, we need to teach and admonish one another, because as I teach her the Word of God, then the Word of God is getting into her and dwelling within her, right? But it's also, as I'm teaching the Word of God, I am benefiting. Because who gets the most benefit when you teach the Bible? The teacher. Because I got to know what I'm talking about in order to teach. But another way is he continues on with these participles, and he says, in all wisdom, singing, teaching and admonishing is to let the word of... But how do we teach and admonish one another? The next verbal participle, I think, tells us how to do that, and it's singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So one way to teach and admonish or to counsel one another is through singing. Singing songs to one another. So we read the word together, but we also sing together. And so in our family times of worship, let us read the word to God together and let us sing together. Now there's two interesting things here about the singing. There's both a vertical and a horizontal aspect to our singing. We see the vertical here that at the end, we're making spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the praise is ultimately singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's directed towards God, but it's also directed towards others. The parallel passage again in Ephesians 5:18 speaks to that more clearly. It says, be filled with the Spirit with the result that you are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, just a real quick, psalms is probably referring to those Old Testament psalms. So they would actually sing psalms. Hymns is probably an ode of praise to God. And spiritual songs are songs of praise or rejoicing that are based on Scripture and born from the Spirit of God. So they have good biblical lyrics to them, okay? But this is something we want to do. We can sing to God, but also sing to one another. And as we do so, we're teaching, we're admonishing one another, and we're letting the Word of Christ dwell within us richly. Can we play a little video clip? AV. So I want to show us one family who practices this during their regular time. Thank you. So just as we sing in the church, you can also sing together at home. And I thank you, Wong family, for allowing us to play that. And in fact, you can do that this coming week, but we can also do that right now. So turn to your neighbor, one or two, and pretend like you're having a family worship at home. And we're just going to sing a song of praise to God right now. And the song we're going to sing is not Alleluia, but, okay, let's all turn to one another. We'll all sing at the same time. But let's have small group singing as if you are a family at home. And we're going to sing God is so good. Okay? God is so good. And I will lead us in the singing. Okay, so Turn to your neighbor, two or three. Ready? Here we go. Let's get ready. We just have read the word together. Now we're going to sing together. Come on. I know we have some beautiful voices out there. All right, ready? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Turn to one another because you're singing to one another. Ready? One, two, three. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Okay, very good. So thank you. So we want to read the word together. We want to sing together. And lastly, we want to give thanks together. Give thanks together as a church and as a family. Now, one of the keys to Bible study methods is repetition. And if you look in Colossians 3, tell me a word that you see that is repeated in these three verses. And we have it, yes, thankful in verse 15. Verse 16 is singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So thankfulness is promoted in these verses. And I want to encourage us that as a family and as a church, let us give thanks together. It's so easy to complain, to criticize, to grumble. But it's so much more, according to the Word of God, to give thanks. And in fact, there's even... Now, last week, we... there's even secular studies which talks about the benefits of gratitude. And from the Time.com edition of Thanksgiving 2015, it tells us that in an April study of 186 men and women with heart damage, researchers rated the people's levels of gratitude and spiritual well-being. They found that higher gratitude scores were linked to having a better mood, higher quality sleep, and less inflammation, which can worsen the symptoms of heart failure. They also found that having high levels of gratitude explained a lot of the benefits of spiritual well-being. Some of the men and women were asked to write down things they were grateful for over an 8-week period. And those patients who kept gratitude journals for those 8 weeks showed reductions in circulating levels of several important inflammatory biomarkers. And so improved heart rate is related to that. So if you give thanks, you have a better mood, improved social relationships, probably sleep better. And so the exhortation is to give thanks together as a family. Last week, we encourage you to pray together as a family. And one observation you can make on these exhortations to prayer is that they're frequently linked to thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 tells us, don't be anxious for anything. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer in the NASB, being watchful of it, with thanksgiving. And so, yes, pray together, petition God, supplicate God, but let us also give thanks together with one another. We want to be careful of the gimme prayers. Give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me. By the way, my name is Jimmy. So let's also give thanks for what God has done. And so, can you think of 5 things right now that you're thankful for, materially, or maybe another person? So right now, again, we've just read the Bible, we've sang, and now turn to your family member or to your neighbor and see if you can each give thanks to God for 5 things. Okay, let's do that right now. Give thanks to God. Okay, very good. So, if you're depressed, if you're down, give thanks to God. Not only will it lift your spirits, but you're obeying God. If you're really having a problem, just walk around in your house and start giving thanks for the things you see. Thank you, God, for the refrigerator, for the kitchen table, for this house, for this chair, that I can even speak right now, for my wife, okay? Then that can get you started right there. So, today we have emphasized worshiping as a family at home. We've emphasized reading the Word together, singing together, and giving thanks together. After receiving the high blood pressure reading almost 6 years ago, I decided to take action and to improve my health. So I started exercising regularly again. I started watching a little bit more what I ate. I started talking to a Christian counselor who helped me deal with my people conflicts and my anxiety and the shame I was feeling. And slowly, my health began to improve. In fact, I'm thankful that in the last 2 months, the church has bought me term life insurance. So thank you, church, for buying me term life insurance. But I'm also thankful that because my health has improved so much in these last 6 years, that the church was able to purchase the best rate for me, a person of my age, because my life or my death factors are very low because my health is pretty good. So I got the best rate. So I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful that when I went in for my annual about 2 weeks ago, that my blood pressure is normal. In these last 6 years, I haven't had to take an ounce of blood pressure medicine. So praise the Lord. Do you want to improve the spiritual health of your family? I hope you do. And let us not do so necessarily through watching our diet and exercising more, but let us read the Word together. Let us sing together. Let us give thanks together. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you that you are the giver of life. Help us, Lord, to be a people with strong, spiritually healthy lives, both as individuals, as families, and as a church, as we read the Word together, as we sing together, and as we give thanks.